I am Linda from Tilburg for Biz News. Rory Alcock heads an organization called the Madikashani Rural Livestock Project, which aims at commercializing local goat cattle and chicken farming. And he's in the Biz News studio to tell us more about the program. Hi, Rory. Welcome to Biz News.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. And it's a nice opportunity to share what we're doing.
Well, obviously, the first question I have to ask you, you are clearly Gigi's brother.
Yes, I'm Gigi's younger brother, and we work in very different environments. I work for rural development. He seems to generally work for capitalism, but we work together quite a lot around ideas and supporting each other in our work. So yes, that is correct.
Well, can you start by giving us a brief overview of the Madikashani Goat Agri, was it called the Agribusiness Pilot Project, and how did this come about?
So basically what we tried to do was, I mean, we've been working in development of our family has been involved since the 60s, basically. So, but initially the project looked at land reform, which I think was politically expedient at the time. And then there was a question I think a lot of people would ask is, okay, so people have land, people have livestock, what's happening to these farms? And so we tried to create a project to answer some of these questions in terms of, here's an answer to rural agriculture with land reform and farmers. And in a way, how can you model something to show that land reform farms can be productive and commercially useful? I think everyone in South Africa sort of just clutches their head at the thought of land reform and where it's got us. And initially, we worked a lot in land reform. We did the pilot land reform in Wienan under President Mandela. And so this project then took this thing of saying, okay, you've got lots of land, got a huge amount of livestock in rural areas. I'm sure anybody who drives through a tooting somebody around our rural areas can see how much livestock there is there. But how do you get that livestock more productive and into the market? And how do you support the rural poor that you see in those areas without giving handouts? And hopefully they have livestock so you don't have to do the handout. So the project was conceptualized around that and then looking at how do you get any form of support for the rural youth or just even young people in this country. There are millions of young people that we put through some sort of education system and they have no jobs, they have nothing. They sit in these rural areas and urban areas wondering how they're going to get money. So it was also something trying to see how do we offer some sort of alternative to these young people where they don't have to be farmers, because I think it's optimistic to think young people want to be farmers. It seems very grimy and impractical compared to, you know, what they have aspirations for. But how do you create systems that they can have some sort of money out of farming? So that was what the project was built around.
And you also want to transform a woman's lives. So are a lot of these farmers women?
Generally, we work with women farmers, and it's not because of any sort of empathetic or sympathetic thing. It's just women farmers are the people that are on the ground. That is who is in charge of these rural homesteads. They are generally men go to Johannesburg, become migrant laborers, go to the urban areas. They're much more mobile. Women end up often with children at homes, and often those homes are woman-headed. So you look at, if you're going to work with rural farmers, generally you're going to work with women, because that's who you'll find on the ground and who makes day-to-day decisions, who are in charge of the economies of those areas, who look at the child grants and decide how to spend them. So that is where we work with, that's where we choose to work with women around that sort of part.
So how's the what's going on with the project? How are you making progress?
I think the project has been largely successful in terms of, as a pilot, it's did lay out that this is possible. The sales that we did earned about 200-300 million rand for rural farmers in these rural areas. So we're talking about, and I think this is sometimes catches people, farmers are people that live on the land and have livestock. That's our reference group. They don't have farm. And I think our extension system in South Africa is based on farmers having farms. And farmers having farms becomes the tendopreneurs, the 30-odd thousand tendopreneurs. But actually, there's a lot of people living on land that own land, that have livestock, that need support, but because they're not really regarded as farmers. So we look at those as farmers, and that's where we also try and work. The project also, so it has brought goats to the foreground. Let's be clear about that. I think goats are a low-hanging fruit. They one of the only types of livestock in the country that is predominantly owned by black and African farmers. 80-90% of our national herd is owned by African farmers, so it is something that we don't have to give people. It is something they already own and have some tools around. Basically, the goat sales in this country, we estimate about 4.5 billion rand a year, and that's all for traditional sacrifice. None of that ends up as goat meat. And I think that's often also something people don't really understand. Is if there's so many millions of goats being slaughtered every year, where do they go to? And the answer is that most Ngunis, so like Swazi, Zulu, Shangaan people have ancestral worship ceremonies, and for both sacrifice and ride wealth, they use goats. So there's a lot of goats that get brought in. In the past, these were imported from Namibia. We used to have about 1 million goats a year. It's now dropped to about 150,000 goats a year that are brought in from Namibia, which is about 500 million rand. And these goats are fed into the market from basically in Namibia, Natal, and then fed into the market. So we look at goats as one of the things we can model agriculture and farming. It's not the only livestock that we work on.
And you've also had, I see, an auction of goats recently. So how did that go?
So we have had a number of auctions. Auctions are a twofold thing. We use auctions to set the prices for farmers. So in the past, and to a large extent, still currently, you have speculators. It's a guy in a bucky driving around these areas buying goats. And there've always been this thing of, but you can't sell to speculators because they crook you out of money. The prices are up for debate, let's say. And so we have auctions in areas so that people can go to auctions, watch the goats being auctioned. They can see the prices that are got for different colors, different sizes, different ages of goats. And those prices are then set for that area. So when a speculator does arrive at your yard, you know the prices of goats because you've been to an auction where there've been sales and you can say, look, I know a goat this size is sold for so much. There's a lot involved in that auction. There's colors are very important. White goats are very important. Black goats don't sell very well at all because of the sacrifice stuff and because of sort of Christian type thinking has sort of spread through the country in terms of white is good, black is bad sort of stuff. So black goats are very difficult to sell and white goats are quite easy to sell and you get higher prices. So there's various things in terms of that auction. What we do is we try and have monthly auctions at small rural towns and pension days, and then we have larger auctions when there is like Easter or Christmas where you have a large number of livestock to be sold off. But it is more a trend setting system rather than the bulk of goats. The bulk of goats are still sold through systems we've set up, where we set up a speculator, which is, as I say, usually a young guy in a vehicle that he's bought for himself, and we get him, we set him up on a WhatsApp group with a local farming group, and they then WhatsApp each other saying, look, I'm looking for 20 goats, I'll come tomorrow, these are the sort of prices. He sends pictures of the goats so that they can sort of agree not to disagree when they get there, and he picks up the goats and pays the money and go. And so what we also set up was a lot of cashless systems, which is very important. A large reason why people don't like working in rural areas, they get robbed or murdered. Coming into rural areas with cash in hand, two or three times, by the fourth time, you probably usually get whacked. So we have to set up systems of payment which are either cashless or based on meeting at the police station to collect your cash and deliver the livestock or that sort of stuff. And the benefit we bring as sort of the organization is that we ensure that the livestock aren't stolen, of high quality, and have been medically vetted so that they can be sold and won't spread diseases. And this has been very successful. I think it's one of the very successful parts of the program is that these sales now continue, and people make R500,000 from a sale. If they have, 200 goods, that's R500,000, and it goes straight into people's pockets. So yes, we with these continue, and our most successful ones are on land reform farms. So yes, we work in rural areas which aren't land reform, but where there are land reform farms, you find that people have more access to resource, to grazing and bush. And so quite bad farms, quite Thornfelt farms, which is a swear word among farmers, get very good sales. And people sell and buy goats. And we could show that as a result of land reform, farmers have a hugely increased ability to build their goat herds and sell their goat herds.
And do you have support from government agencies for this?
We worked with government initially. The problem with government, I suppose, is that government battles to see any programs that don't involve tenders and don't involve some sort of political expediency, where you have to grease the local qualms. And so we did work very well with the National Department of Agriculture and Land Reform, and I think that went very well. We did the pilot. The local department we've had more complicated relationships with, but at the moment we don't work with them specifically, which is a great pity, I think. I think the program is much missed, but we are continuing to try and engage with them. So what we tried to do from the initial pilot is that we drew up or wrote up a goat master plan for the whole country, just saying from our pilot, these are the sort of things we should be doing as a country around goats. And this could be Malelad, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, anywhere really where you have rural communities and goats. We put together a sort of framework of what you should do. And we have worked quite strongly to get that into the agricultural agro-processing master plan. That seems stuck at the moment for, I assume, political reasons. It's supposed to be our 20-year agricultural plan for the country and has quite a lot of difference in terms of what agriculture could be done by rural communities. But so that's where we've put it with the government, to try and get it embedded nationally, and then trying to get a second part of the pilot, which starts looking as we're talking about this commercialization and scaling up and scaling out into these other areas.
So is that your dream?
That would be particularly useful for the country, yes. I think to see rural areas transformed into places where there are regular sales with security, not security as in security police or security guards, but security in terms of people know they're selling and they're not selling stolen livestock, and they can come with some form of cashless payment and pay for these, and be taking those goats out quite quickly, we could reduce all our imports of goats through Botswana and Namibia, which we're currently importing at the moment. And, you know, it's crazy if you think of most rural areas and most townships in this country, you see goats everywhere. Well, how is it possible that we're importing goats? You know, this is one thing we shouldn't be importing. So, yes, part of our dream would be that livestock and rural women are able to be selling regularly and making money from livestock and really improving their own homes, but also just those rural areas into quite useful sort of farming systems. I mean, the goats are one of the few things that we know that can push back on climate change and bush encroachment. Bush encroachment is one of our biggest problems in the country in terms of acacias and stuff filling up the grasslands. Goats can and will push back on bush, whereas game reserves and cattle don't. So, and goats can deal with the hotter and drier conditions. So in a way, goat farming is also future-proofing rural areas against climate change, because they will survive. Like cockroaches, they will hold together no matter what the environment turns into.
Yep, goats eat everything. We lived on a small farm and they even ate the washing off the line. So they eat it.
Yes, that is them. I mean, I think it was an interesting turning point for us as an NGO, just as an aside. We worked for a long time on communal gardens, and you try these looming things and you just never get them right. You know, communal gardens we'd be trying for years and years. And we eventually worked out that actually we're spending more time trying to keep the livestock out than farming stuff inside there. And in a way, that was sort of a moment of, okay, well, why don't we just work with the livestock? Because actually, they are the majority. And generally, farming land that is excluded from livestock is by powerful men. Powerful men keep fields, keep gardens. So when we started looking at the livestock that was bothering us so much, it turned out to be owned by women men. So we thought, well, why don't we just work with where the energy is? And that was one of our turning points to just how we started thinking about rural development.
Rory Alcock, thanks so much for speaking to us.